Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening to The Drive. Rob, I could do 4 hours on Juliana Zobrist. You know how much I dislike Paul Pierce? Like, I just dislike Paul Pierce on, like, normal sports hate. He's never done anything that I know of that would make me hate him with real fervor. What Juliana Zobrist is doing should be illegal. Should absolutely be illegal. And I don't like her. I don't like that she's doing my homie Ben Zobrist this way. I don't like that we all know that Ben is going to have to settle with her and still pay her out on top of her getting 50% of everything that he has. The game is just rigged. Ben, keep your head up. And I just want to tell you, man, Tupac cares, or don't nobody else care, man. I just want to share that with you. There is a lot to get into in today's 5 o'clock hour. Let's get into this with the Royals, and then we'll get to more kind of news and notes of the day. We're at the point in the season in which, I'm going to be real with you guys, I'm not that interested in talking to you guys about the day-to-day happenings of the Kansas City Royals. There is no reason to waste my time or your time or anybody's time talking to you about the day-to-day dealings with the Royals. After today, I am only really interested in talking about two things regarding the Royals. Number one is the trade deadline. There was a report from Alec Lewis of The Athletic. I'm willing to call Alec Lewis friend of the show. That said, the Royals have fielded interest in Nicky Lopez. Well, if a team is called about Nicky Lopez, you need to hire college hunks or two guys in a truck or whatever moving company is available whenever you need to help Nicky Lopez relocate him and his family. If teams are calling you and offering a legitimate double-A prospect for a player in which you don't think factors into your future, because I assume if you ask Dayton Moore, what does your starting infield look like in 2022? I assume it's a combination of Bobby Witt Jr. and Adalberto Mondesi. So if you can get something for Nicky Lopez, a guy who is a backup utility infielder for you, and I like Nicky Lopez, but right now ain't the time to be talking about personal feelings. It's time to be talking about what we think is in the best interest long-term of the Kansas City Royals. And if a team's calling you with legit interest in Lopez and feels like he can be the 20th through 25 guy on their roster, can basically be Dave Roberts. You remember Dave Roberts on those old Red Sox teams? I think that's sort of the role in which teams would sort of envision for Nicky Lopez. If people think that's what he can be, then he don't need to be working here anymore. Danny Duffy. Love Danny Duffy. Real friend of the show. But we've reached the point in which he can't be on the team past the deadline. He has a legitimate value that can help you build your franchise long term. If the Royals want to sign Danny Duffy in free agency, knock yourself out. I'd be in favor of it. I love Duff. I think he has a value. I'd like for his contract number to be lessened for the Royals heading into next season. But I don't have any issues with Danny Duffy being on the team next year. But you have an opportunity here over the next 2 weeks to get something of value that can help you long term where you're not sure if Danny Duffy can help you. So he has to be moved on. Jorge Soler has to be DFA'd. What are we doing continuing to give at bats to a player who A, isn't helping the current team, and B, we don't think is going to be helping the future team? You want to talk about something that's really a waste of everybody's time? Jorge Soler right now is wasting our time. He's not part of the development. He's not part of the present. He's not part of the future. Then he needs to be part of the past then. And they need to do something drastically different with Jorge Soler. A.E., not play him anymore. Give all those A.B.s to O'Hearn. Give them to, I don't care if you let a random fan do it. And you're just trying to spread some goodwill and cheer to get people out to the ballpark. It can't be Jorge Soler anymore. It can't after the deadline. He can't continue to play on this team. And then after that, it's what happens with Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado. And when are they going to be here? It then starts the final countdown to Bobby Witt Jr. So they open up September here in Kansas City. And they have three Fridays between September and October in which they're at Kauffman. I fully expect them to allow Bobby Witt Jr. to play and start for one of those days. From a time standpoint, there's no penalty in playing him in September, and we know he's going to sell tickets for you, and you run in a business. You run in a business. So Bobby Witt Jr. is going to play at some point in September because why would he not play in September? So when it comes to the day-to-day stuff with the Royals, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not super interested in it. I don't think there's reason to be super interested on them being the difference between being 20 games under 500 and 19 games under 500. This team ain't good. This team isn't making the playoffs. The conversations are much more about the future and what they need to do to turn things around in a big picture. I'm not going to be impressed by a really impressive September. If there's one thing I know the Royals will do, it's play their best baseball in September. They will 100% the last 3 weeks of the season be the best team in baseball when it doesn't matter anymore. So that's the number one story in Kansas City. There are certainly other things to talk about, but that's where we are with the Royals. Training camp starts on Friday with rookies and quarterbacks reporting. Everybody reports next week for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Royals failed their objective. It was get us to training camp, and they failed. Rob, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City, my man.
From the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go. Well, the top non-Nick Prado and Bobby Witt Jr. story in Kansas City is one that actually is outside of Kansas City, and that's Melvin Ingram, a player who the Chiefs had in to visit earlier this year, has officially signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The former Charger man received a one-year contract to go play in Pittsburgh. Carrington, considering the state of the Chiefs' pass rush, with question marks of Frank Clark and his ability to play this season due to his legal battles, where are you on the Chiefs' pass rush, and did they make a mistake in not signing Melvin Ingram?
Rob, cut the beat. All right, this is the other top story of the day in Kansas City, so I'm very, very happy that you made this the first hit. I want to be clear because I always think I get called Debbie Downer and Buzz Killington and I'm negative about the Chiefs. If you are honest with yourself about the Chiefs, you will admit the next 30 seconds of what I'm going to say is 100% accurate. The Chiefs are playing a very dangerous tightrope game with their defense. Last year, in terms of sacks and pressures, the Chiefs were 28th in the NFL. The Chiefs were not good at getting pressure on the quarterback despite spending a lot of money to be good at getting pressure on the quarterback. They have only made one addition to that, and that's Jaron Reed, who I think is a fine player, and I like the addition, but they didn't spend a worthwhile draft pick, and they were not aggressive at filling that spot. They also are playing a dangerous game with their cornerback situation. This is not me being corner dot, but they do not have proven production at corner heading into the season. So you don't got to be John Madden or Bill Belichick or Bill Walsh to know the Chiefs are going into the season with a questionable pass rush. That's what the numbers say. They're also going into the season with an inexperienced secondary. That's a dangerous combination of things to mix. And we're not even going to get to the linebacker group, which could potentially be the weakest unit on the team. I got some questions about the way that their defense is put together. Offensively, they are going to be able to mask a lot of the problems with the defense because their offense has a chance once again to be truly elite. I love their offensive line. I think with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they're going to be able to run the ball really effectively and also use him out of the backfield. You got the best quarterback in the NFL. You have arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL, the best tight end in the NFL, and the best offensive mind this side of Bill Walsh. I don't have any questions on whether or not they can score. But last year, they didn't get good pressure on the quarterback. Their cornerback grouping has gotten worse. And they were historically bad in the red zone last year, and they have done little to alleviate those problems. I think they're walking a dangerous tightrope when it comes to their defense. And their defense is predicated on these three things being true. Chris Jones being able to make the transition out to the outside and get consistent pass rush. Frank Clark turning into the player that he has never been in a Chiefs uniform. He has never at any point outside of two playoff games been exactly what the Chiefs thought he was going to be. It's also predicated on they probably need two of their other corners to hit. So let's put Snead in the guaranteed category. You know exactly what you feel like you're going to get. He's a number one corner. Cool. I'm not going to fight you on Snead. Charvarius Ward, Mike Hughes, DeAndre Baker, Rashad Fenton, they need two of those guys to end up being plus players for them this season. That is not a luxury. It's a luxury if you get a really good season from Byron Pringle. This team can still be fine if Byron Pringle is not good. They're counting on a lot of question marks when it comes to the defense. That makes me a little bit uneasy about this team. You want to talk about how the gap can potentially close between where you are and the other teams? It's being weak defensively and you not being able to get after the quarterback in a AFC that's really strong with quarterback and you not being able to stop playmakers because you can't get a pass rush and you don't have the corners on the outside to do it.
Two.
Well, their Chiefs top story is on ESPN.com. Well, their writers said that it is likely the Chiefs will start zero rookies on the offensive line this upcoming season.
Well, then that person's an outsider. They're definitely not an insider.
Carrington, considering the fact that the Chiefs will have at least three rookies on the roster vying for a job on the offensive line, how many rookies do you believe will start this year for the Kansas City Chiefs?
I think they're only going to start one, and I think that person's going to be Creed Humphrey. At right guard, I think that is a true position battle heading into training camp. I don't really know how to handicap it or who the favorite is. I think Austin Blythe is going to be the starter. But it could be Andrew Wiley could be the starter. It could be Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. I wouldn't be surprised if Trey Smith has a fantastic training camp and preseason and wins the job. Right guard is the only position on the team that I think is 100% up for grabs. At right tackle, I think it's going to be Mike Rimmers. That's not saying that Lucas Niang won't have the opportunity to win the job, but I think the favorite is going to be Mike Rimmers out there on the right side. So if you had to ask me, I think it's much more likely that two starters are rookies on the offensive line as opposed to zero. I'd be very surprised if Creed Humphrey was not a starter for this team week one whenever they play the Cleveland Browns. Comes from a good pedigree. He's further along than the other rookies and young players on their team. You draft Creed Humphrey in the second round with the expectation that he's going to be able to start game one for you whenever you start your season. I do think Creed starts.
Three. Well, former Royal Ben Zobrist is in the news again, as you know, earlier this year.
Why are we doing this as a hit? It's only going to make me mad.
The question is, considering now Ben Zobrist being sued by his ex-wife, I don't know if they're ex yet, but by his former wife, Juliana. Carrington, what are your thoughts on Juliana Zobrist suing a former Royal left fielder and second baseman, Ben Zobrist?
The woman is the devil. She is the absolute devil. I don't say that jokingly. I don't say it haphazardly. If you cheat on somebody and they take off work because you cheated on them and they're mentally and physically unable to continue, and then you sue that person for the lost wages from them taking off during that time, you're the devil and you're an evil person. That's how I feel about Juliana Zobrist. It is one of the wildest stories I've ever read in sports. It is a wild story that she can do that. The gall of that woman, the audacity of that woman to do that. She is on my Jenny from Forrest Gump levels of hate right now. And you know how much I hate Jenny from Forrest Gump. That's where she is right now. This is worse because she's real. And I know who she hurt. This is even worse. This is terrible. I can't believe this story. It legitimately makes me mad. There's not a lot of these stories that get me mad. It gets me mad. I want to spend the rest of the 5 o'clock hour wrapping up our 80s movies. So if you guys have missed it, I have been watching an 80s movie a day basically for the whole summer. It's virtually coming to a close. We're off tomorrow because of the Royals. We're off Wednesday because of the Royals. It's time to end this bit. It's been a great bit. It's been a fun bit. I've seen a lot of movies that I liked and enjoyed. I've seen a lot of movies that I didn't like and enjoy. I loved Platoon. I loved Indiana Jones. I'd always wanted to watch Back to the Future. I don't know why I just didn't sit down and watch it, but I've watched it. I've seen a lot of great movies. There's some movies that I'm very upset that you guys even suggested me to watch, like Vacation. Movie was terrible. St. Elmo's Fire. Movie was terrible. But for the most part, this has been a very enjoyable experience. And next year, we'll do it with 90s movies that I haven't seen before. I'm sure there's a bunch of 90s movies. I never seen Beetlejuice. I'm sure there's some 90s movies that you guys will suggest that I've never seen, and we can bring this back. So Rob told me that this needed to end with me watching Empire Strikes Back. Now, I've never seen the first Star Wars, but I do have an understanding of what the characters are. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and say I understand the story. I just watched the movie of it, and I still don't fully understand what's going on, but I got enough of an understanding of what's going on, if you know what I mean. So I watched this movie, Rob, and in the very beginning of the movie, I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't know who that was. This guy is riding some creature that was like a horse camel type thing, and he got smacked by the abominable snowman. And the abominable snowman, you could still see the strings that was operating the abominable snowman. I was wondering to myself what you guys had got me into. What in the world was I watching? And as the movie goes on, the same guy who just got beat up by the abominable snowman is hanging upside down in this cave, and he just uses these magical powers to summon the lightsaber. I'm like, oh, that must be the Force. That's what I was thinking out loud. Oh, that's the Force. So I continue watching the movie, and I see Han Solo and I see Princess Leia, and they clearly had some unresolved tension between one another. They were arguing, and they were arguing in a way that like couples argue. You know, they were up, and I was thinking to myself, Rob, I would understand this argument a lot more if I had seen the first movie. It was clear something had happened between them in the last movie. I just didn't know what had happened in the last movie to understand why they were arguing. So then we continue on through the movie, and I'm watching the movie, and for the first 45 minutes of the movie, I was pretty confused on what was going on. I was trying to understand who this random creature was that Luke Skywalker was talking to. He just would start. He was acting like Bran from Game of Thrones. He would just start talking to this creature out of nowhere. Ben. I'm trying to say, I've never heard of Ben. I think that was Obi-Wan Kenobi. Am I right? Is that who he was talking to?
That's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yep.
Okay. All right. I don't know who he is, but I know who he is. So he's having these conversations with Obi-Wan Kenobi. And at this point, I'm thinking to myself, Rob, why have I assigned 2 hours of my life to watching this movie? I barely know what's going on. I don't really know any of the characters. I don't know any of the story. And you want to know when the movie changed for me? Whenever Darth Vader popped up, they started playing that evil music and I saw Darth Vader for the first time, and he killed a man on FaceTime. He just strangled a man on Zoom. Just strangled him. And I was like, all right, you know what? I kind of like this guy. And then I wrote all this down. And then I was thinking, who had a better 80s than Harrison Ford? He's in this movie. He's also in Indiana Jones. I don't know when The Fugitive came out, but that seems like a movie that came out in the late 80s. I was like, Harrison Ford? Why do people not look at Harrison Ford like he's the greatest actor of all time? Nobody has been in bigger movies and more movies than Harrison Ford. Why is he not considered the greatest actor of all time? I wrote this down. Now, I will say, one reason I didn't feel a super connection with this movie the way that some of you do is I didn't love all of the characters. I didn't really like Luke Skywalker. I didn't really like Luke Skywalker for most of the movie. I was not a huge fan of the robots. Now, I'll never get the... What's the gold robot's name with the weird voice, the walk-off funny? What's his name?
C-3PO.
Okay. CP-3O was one of the most annoying characters I've ever seen in a movie or a television show. He was Janice Soprano-level annoying to me for most of the movie. And my favorite part in the movie was when Princess Leia turned him off. When he was just talking in the back and he was just randomly rambling like he normally does in the movie, and she just disconnected my man's switch and he just was laying in the back powerless. Was one of my favorite parts of the movie that they got him out of there. What is R2-D2, what's his purpose? Like, what does he do? He didn't really do anything in this movie. I'm not saying he doesn't do anything in any of the movies. What is his purpose in the Star Wars universe? Like, what did I miss as I'm watching it on what his purpose was? He seemed like he was just around.
I mean, didn't he at the end there when they were in Cloud City connect into the mainframe to find out what was happening?
Okay.
Yes. And he's also a droid that they use when they fly around in space. Because remember at the beginning, he was in the TIE Fighter. He was in the ship with Luke Skywalker when they went out to the Dagobah system. He's in the plane.
Okay. All right. That's perfectly fine.
He's basically a computer hacker in robot form.
Okay. All right. That's fine. The movie really started to turn for me. Whenever they met up with Billy Dee Williams and Lando Calrissian. That's when the movie really started to turn for me. That's when I really started to like it. At first, I was really mad. I was like, yo, how did you turn on him? Han Solo thought you and y'all were cool. Y'all thought y'all were boys. Y'all obviously weren't boys. You turned your back on him. You gave him over to Darth Vader. And then he ended up, I don't know if he had a change of conscience or whatnot, but then he decided to try to help him. And a weird thing happened because I'm watching the first 40 minutes of this and I'm thinking to myself, I have no interest in this. I'll never watch it again. Then at the end of the movie, Rob, I was mad that it was over. I was legitimately mad that it had ended. I'm thinking, well, they cut Luke Skywalker's hand off. He has to get some vengeance for this. He's just going to walk around like Jaime Lannister and not have a hand? Doesn't make any sense. I'm also thinking, how do they leave Han Solo back at the base? They got to turn back around and get him. Is Luke ever going to figure out the Force? Because he was like starting to learn it. What does he do about Darth Vader being his father? Like, I started having all these questions at the end of the movie, and then it just hit me. That's why you guys love Star Wars so much. So Rob, I'm going to give Star Wars an 8. Maybe I'd give it a higher score if I'd watched the other ones and I had a little bit more understanding of the first 45 minutes of the movie. But I did think it was a good movie. I did enjoy the last hour and 15 once I felt like the pace really picked up. I do have now a general understanding of the story. I am legitimately curious on what happens with Han Solo in the third one. Which one's the third one? So it's New Hope.
It goes New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Elite films.
Okay. And the Jedi, I assume, is Luke Skywalker. He's going back to avenge somebody.
You can piece that together.
Okay. All right. I'm making sure. All right. I am interested to find out what happens in Return of the Jedi. I am interested. I don't want you to tell me what happens.
I won't tell you
anything. At some point, I do want to watch it for myself to see what happens, but I get it. I understand. I give Empire Strikes Back on my very limited knowledge. My first Star Wars, the only other Star Wars, Rob, I honestly had ever watched before that was, as a kid, I watched like 20 minutes. You know how you're flipping through the channels, and then you watch, you just stop on a movie? It was the first Star Wars, and I watched the first 20 minutes, and I was out. I couldn't do it. I didn't know what was going on. It seemed weird. It was old. I was a kid. I wasn't watching it. But this was a good movie. I'm giving it an 8. A strong 8. Wasn't one of my favorite movies that I watched during this time, but I'm giving it an 8.
I think an 8 is fair. I think when we did this exercise, you told me you had enough knowledge of Star Wars, the original one, that you'd be good. So I feel like some of that is on me for not being like, hey, watch the first one. But I also feel like when you say you have enough knowledge, I think you need to have enough knowledge. I think you would have given this a 9.5 or 10 had you had that knowledge, because you would have enjoyed that first 45 minutes far more because you would have understood what was happening. But it is a tremendous film. I'm happy you didn't hate it. I'm happy you enjoyed it. I'm happy it's whet your appetite and wants you wanting more, and you're considering watching the Return of the Jedi. Watch the original 3. Don't watch the prequels. They all stink. Maybe if you want, you can watch one of J.J. Abrams' movies, but it's not his.
Hold on. I do know this about Star Wars. I know we got to take a break. We need to take this to 30.
Okay.
I do know this. I do know that the most recent 3 movies are before these 3 movies.
No.
That's not it?
So it's the original 3, then like in the early 2000s, they did the prequel.
Because like 4, 5, or 6 are really 1, 2, and 3.
This is what you watched last night when you watched was 5.
Yeah, 5. I know that, yeah.
So then they made the prequels, which are 1, 2, and 3, which came out in the 2000s. Then they sold the franchise to Disney, and Disney does what Disney does, which is fall backwards into money. They made I guess at that point it would be the 7th, 8th, and 9th one. The 7th one is whatever. It's kind of forgettable. They introduced some new characters, whatever. 8th one, really good. 9th one, worst movie in the whole series. That's what happened. So the most recent ones that came out, I guess, November of 19 are 7, 8, and 9. 9 is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure you guys understood that. I kind of understood it, but I'm sure you guys understand it. I realized in this whole thing, too, that I don't really like science fiction movies a whole lot. Like, I kind of knew that before, but I now 100% know I don't love science fiction movies now after this experience, after watching so many movies. But then I say that, but I loved E.T., and I would consider E.T. to be a science fiction movie. E.T. was great. E.T. was really good. Is there a sequel to E.T.?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. All right. I am now interested in watching the first 3 Star Wars movies. I will say that. You guys don't seem excited about the other ones. It's just like you just love those original 3 and then that's it. I remember when I was a kid when they brought Star Wars back, it was like a really big deal that they brought it back. You were definitely excited about that. You were midnight release guy when it came to that. You were midnight release to Star Wars back in the day.
100%. I was midnight release for 3 of all the prequels. I've been midnight release guy for 6 of the movies. I wasn't old enough to do midnight release for the original 3 because I wasn't born yet when they were out. So yeah.
Do you want them to keep making Star Wars movies?
Not if J.J. Abrams is going to be in charge. Because he did a terrible job. Just terrible. Rise of Skywalker is an awful film.
This has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but has everything to do with what we're talking about. No one likes Michael Bay or J.J. Abrams, yet they keep getting so many movies. It's a very odd cycle that those two are in. People hate when Michael Bay does their movies.
Zack Snyder's in the same category.
Zack Snyder is 100% in that movie.
Zack Snyder does a movie, and like, there's a small sect of people who are like, hooray, but the general consensus of society is, ugh, he's back.
I don't know if this is a good comparison or not, but Zack Snyder is starting to get to M. Night Shyamalan. He made 300, and now he can just make everything. Because 300 is such a good movie. He made 300, and now you just make whatever you want. That's kind of like M. Night Shyamalan. Like, I made Sixth Sense. I can make whatever I want now at this point. I keep making bad movies.
Signs wasn't bad. Signs wasn't horrible.
Signs is not good either.
No, but
Signs is not bad. It's also not good.
It's not like Sucker Punch.
No, it's not like Sucker Punch. I don't know how you make. Sometimes I don't know if you can like watch those movies and then come away thinking those movies are good. Like, I don't know how you can watch Sucker Punch and think that's a good movie. Like, if you made the movie, I don't know how you can do that. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to sports. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Rob, I will say one thing that has been kind of cool today is I know Star Wars is really popular, obviously, but it's one of those things that I just don't really have a frame of reference because I'm not a part of it. Like, Rob, when you think about it, and I don't mean this like in a negative sense, I want you to take it that way. Like, you're a part of the two biggest movie groups that you can be a part of. You're a diehard Marvel Cinematic Universe person, so you can talk about it, understand it. You were excited for Endgame. You also are a part of the Star Wars hive. I'm not a part of either one of those groups. So when everybody at the office is talking about Loki, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not watching that. I don't even know who Loki is, to be completely honest with you about it. I will say the one time, Rob, I wanted to be a part of the Star Wars hive was when they released The Mandalorian. Because I'm thinking, well, this seems like a really cool show. But then I felt intimidated because I don't know what's going on. So I'm so far behind, I got to play catch up with all of this that I now don't know what to do. Maybe some of you guys feel that same way about other things. You know, when they released the trailer for the Sopranos thing, like the Sopranos thing, like I was really excited about it. But some of you are like, why is this a big deal? Well, it might be the greatest show in cable television history, the Sopranos. They're making a movie about it. I'm excited about it. I wish I was a part of you guys' tribe. I wish I was in your hive. I'm not a part of your hive at all.
But there's room. There's room to join. We're not an exclusive group. You can come in. You need to watch the.
I'm way too far behind at this point. I'm way too far behind
Disney
the Star
Plus
Wars
has
family.
Made you able to catch up, though.
No.
It's right there. It's begging to be had.
This is the one thing, though, where I'll say, like, sometimes the I heard it first. Like, I don't know who your favorite musician is. Like, let's say you, like, love, let's pick somebody really famous, like Adele. And let's say, like, Adele announces a new album and you, like, listen to it and you act like you're a big Adele fan. You would look at that person like you're crazy. If you just started liking Jay-Z a month ago, don't talk to me about Jay-Z. Like, I don't want to have a conversation with you about him. You haven't listened. You haven't consumed it long enough. You don't know about by heart the way that I do. That's how I imagine it is joining you guys' circle. I'm too far behind. Like the Marvel Universe, I've probably seen 7 of their movies, 8 of the Marvel movies. Now, I love the Spider-Man movies that they made. I've seen Black Panther. I've seen Civil War. I've seen Ant-Man. There's a couple of the movies that I've seen. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not really watching them that much for story, though. Like, I don't know what's happening in these movies. Am I entertained? Are the fighting scenes cool? Like, my threshold for the Marvel movies are very different than maybe your threshold of it. So when I was watching this movie, when I was watching Empire Strikes Back yesterday, I was thinking to myself, this is probably really cool, but I'm not super familiar with the story and I'm not really invested into the story. So it was sort of lost on me. It did a really good job at the end of bringing it together and the action. And over time, I really wanted to see them have success. Like Chewbacca, he was kind of annoying because he wasn't saying anything. And I'm like, why is this guy just making noises? And then toward the end of the movie, he started going, And he would say something, and Han Solo would look at him, and they would like understand each other. And I was like, I understood him too, Han. Like I felt the same excitement that you felt watching the film. I felt the same level of excitement.
Maybe this were just different. Two different people, and that's fine. If you were, for your Jay-Z analogy, if I was the Jay-Z fan you were, and someone said, hey, I just started listening to Jay-Z for the first time, I really like it. I wouldn't say, stay away from me. No, where have you been from the start? I would say, welcome aboard. I love that you're part of this now.
I wouldn't say to stay away. And if somebody said, hey, I want to get into Jay-Z, what advice would you have? I would certainly help you. But don't then come around in a month trying to talk to me about it like you've been down for years. You haven't been down for years. So I don't want to like now watch Star Wars and make it seem like I'm in your group. I'm not in your group.
You don't have to be in the group, but you can watch. We can have discussions. It can be fun. We can sit down. We can discuss how Rise of Skywalker stinks. It was an awful movie. Why Jar Jar Binks was ever allowed to be greenlit by Phantom Menace and George Lucas. We can have honest conversations about Return of the Jedi. We can watch Rogue One together. This is a great time. I want you in the group. By the way, based on the text line and how society works,
I don't think they want me in the group.
My group is large.
No, that's a lot of people in the group.
We've cast a wide net. A lot of people are in.
It's a lot of people in the group. No, I 100% agree with you. It is certainly a lot of people in the group of the group that you're in. Someone said you could watch The Mandalorian without knowing much at all about Star Wars. Are you guys sure? I don't know. I actually would watch The Mandalorian if it was definitive, I didn't need to know anything and I could enjoy it on its own merit. I 100% would watch The Mandalorian.
Season one, you can probably watch with no knowledge of Star Wars pretty easy. Season two, there gets to like some nerdcore, deep cut Star Wars things, including how it ends. And there's like a really niche Clone Wars reference in one of the episodes. Season two is a little more Star Wars nerdcore, but season one you can watch and enjoy no problem.
Okay, all right. I might give it a try. I'm still behind on those other. I haven't watched any of those shows on Disney Plus. I watched a single one of them on Disney Plus.
You were excited for Falcon and Winter Soldier, too.
Yeah, I'll watch it at some point, but I just haven't watched it yet. I started watching 80s movies. It's dominated my summer. I've had to watch Fletch is what I've had to do.
You watch Fletch, then you're like, ooh, game two. That's been your
yeah,
summer.
Yeah, you have me watching Fletch. Someone said, what do you think about Busio? I am sad that I'll now never get the opportunity to see Busio play soccer. Is he going to be on the team Wednesday when they play? They play tomorrow, right? But they got COVID.
No, they
got COVID, right?
I mean,
they might not play tomorrow. To hell with Busio might not play. They might not play tomorrow.
He's not eligible to be on the roster. He's with the U.S. team.
It's gone. It's over.
He's with the U.S. team.
I'll never
team
get the opportunity to see Busio in person. I'll never get to meet him. It's done.
I mean, I would bet by the end of the Gold Cup, he's no longer on Sporting KC. So yes, that would probably hurt your chances of meeting the man. But you can still watch. You have ESPN Plus.
I should have went on Sunday to the game against Canada. I saw they scored in the first 2 seconds, and I know you were excited. I know you went crazy. It looked like a great time.
Raucous atmosphere.
You made a good point. I got to give Patrick Mahomes a lot of credit. He knows exactly when to show up to stuff. Mahomes just doesn't go to random things. Like, Mahomes isn't randomly showing up to your UMKC game. He's not, like, randomly going to your high school football game either. Mahomes is showing up when it matters. First women's games, so he can support his wife. He'll be at the very big sporting games. He'll be sitting courtside when KU plays a big game or plays Texas Tech. He'll be at the right concerts that everybody wants to go to. Mahomes, he does his fame really right in Kansas City. He ain't just showing up to your regular event. It's got to reach a certain level. So the fact that USA was playing Canada and he showed up, I was like, you know what? He's all right, man. He's all right.
Yeah, he's not showing up to watch your band at Grinders. No offense to the bands at Grinders. He ain't doing that. He's also, no offense to the Royals, Tuesday night against Milwaukee, he's not going to that. It's not happening. Opening day, he was there. I imagine he may have gone to one of the Ohtani games. That's what he'll go to.
He's maybe never been to a Royals game that's not opening day. He's maybe never been to another Royals game.
That's probably true.
You think that he's randomly showing up for a Friday Royals Orioles Buck Night Dollar Dog Day?
He might have showed up to that game where he decided
he's
to be an owner.
Opening day. No, he went to opening day. He went to one game when he was a rookie. And then, you know, they have him throw out the first pitch. He waves to everybody. And he did that.
Did he stay?
He's probably been in two of those games.
That doesn't count, though. If he got told, come by, wave your hands, throw out the first pitch, and you'll get your welcome to Kansas City moment, but it was like a PR thing, that doesn't count as going to a Royals game. Yeah, also, his going to the Royals game is different because he sits in the owner's box now, which is probably a different experience than the rest of us.
He owns the owner box.
I mean, probably.
They probably have like a timeshare with how many people. With how many people have like a part ownership of the Royals, they definitely have a timeshare of how many people can sit in there.
That schedule's probably easy. Mahomes like, give me opening day. I'm good the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm not coming to any more of these games.
I'm good.
I don't have any interest in coming watch you guys play this random game against Cleveland on a Tuesday.
He probably gets first pick too. Here's the day I want. Opening day. You guys decide the rest. Good luck, Eric Sonstreet. Pick your day. You get game 47.
Do you think that it's better to be like as physically gifted as Mahomes is? Like where you know on the football field, there is nothing that you can't do. Or also know that you have the ability for game 7 of the NBA Finals to make one phone call and sit courtside. Like Mahomes is at that point of stardom where he could make one phone call and be like, yeah, I really want to go to the game. We already know that the plane is gassed up and paid for because he's got that sponsorship with the private jet company. Yeah, Brittany and I and Jackson, we want to go to game 7. We need three seats courtside. Hey, I got you. I can't imagine having that ability.
I mean, that's basically what he did when he go watch Luka play. He was like, yeah, I'll go to LA and watch the Clippers and Luka. That'll be fun. The real winner is Jackson, by the way. Jackson's the hero of the day.
Oh, he has the greatest life.
I wish every day I was Jackson Mahomes.
He gets all the perks without ever getting hit. That's the greatest. It's the absolute greatest. It's an amazing life.
If I was Jackson Mahomes at 20, oh my God, I would have been the happiest 20-year-old on earth.
It's an amazing life. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to before we go. So there was a story from an ESPN writer, and he doesn't believe that any rookies are going to start for the Chiefs on the offensive line. I think their offensive line situation is kind of straightforward. I also think if we're talking about position battles for this team, there's honestly not that many position battles for the Royals. Left tackle, we know who it is. Left guard, we know who it is. Center. I don't think you draft offensive lineman, an interior offensive lineman especially, that high up in the draft if you're not preparing for them to play season one. Now, we could be wrong. Maybe an injury happens with Creed Humphrey. Maybe he doesn't develop in the way that they thought he was going to develop. But I'd be surprised if Creed Humphrey wasn't the starter for this team week one. When you go to right guard, I think that's the only true position battle for this team the rest of the way. And then when you look at right tackle, I think Rimmers is going to get the job. If you think outside of that, I think their number two wide receiver at this point has to be considered DeMarcus Robinson based on his snaps over the last couple of seasons. I think their number two corner is probably Charvarius Ward. Snead one, Ward two, Fenton three. And we'll see what the health is of DeAndre Baker. But I think that going into training camp, this is going to be probably one of the more quote-unquote boring training camps that we have. The Chiefs are solid. They're a really good team. They're a complete team. They're a healthy team. That a lot of it's going to be just simply waiting until the end of training camp, waiting into the season till we get some more definitive answers. So as we get out of here, I want to play one piece of audio for you as we sign off for today. There was this Michael Jordan story that came across my timeline that I, hand to God, watched at least 5 times. It is one of the funniest Michael Jordan stories I can remember. So we're out of here. Bink is up next because the Royals have an off day. We appreciate you listening. Tomorrow we are off because the Royals have a day game. We'll be off on Wednesday, but we'll be back on Thursday. Here's the Michael Jordan story for your way home.
So Michael Jordan walks by one, player by player, shakes his hand and says, what's your name? Well, my name's Maktar Enjai. What's your name? Maktar asked Jordan. Jordan kind of looks confused. He said, Michael. Pleasure to meet you, Michael. And he says, you don't watch much NBA. Where are you from? He said, I'm from Senegal. He said, yeah, they don't show much basketball in Africa. And then Maktar, as Michael Jordan's walking away, says, by the way, Hakeem Olajuwon's the greatest basketball player of all time. Michael Jordan looks at him, looks a little upset, and just rushes out the room. About 10 minutes later, Jordan comes back in practice gear to play. Everybody was just passing the ball to Jordan, and Jordan was trying to dunk on Maktar the whole time. He did what he needed to do, and then left. So years later, Maktar, Enjai, and Anton Jameson were at the Super Bowl in Miami, trying to get into this hot club. So they're standing outside, they're trying to figure out a way to get in, and Michael Jordan comes out from a balcony and looks down. Maktar sees him. Mike, can you help us get in? Jordan looks down at him and goes, oh, now you remember my name, Africa?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.